Could you hear the stones?
You could hear the stones.
You couldn't see the stones.
You could probably hear them like 30 seconds after they'd struck the note. But yes. So there you go.
There was the rumor of the Stones being in the same stadium as you.
Yes. Hey, we got a guest in the studio.
I think I'm early.
You are. That's good. You're a keener.
Are you going to break?
No.
Oh.
No, we're bringing you right in.
I was told to come in at 6:05. It's 6:03:34.
Well, you want to sit there for a minute and a half and do nothing?
but that's what I was doing, listening to your wonderful tale of the concert that you went to.
You got any good Stones stories, Greg?
Oh, no. Dregs grew up country music. I mean, I grew up country music, too, but Dregs, no.
I don't, really.
It's okay.
I know. I appreciate the Rolling Stones, but it's like the Beatles, which is sacrilege. I understand that. I've never seen a Star Wars movie. Don't care. Never will. I'm moderately interested in the Beatles historically. Rolling Stones mean nothing to me.
Wow, you're a lot of fun at parties.
Jeez, Drex.
Other than that,
what gets you fired up, Drex?
By the way, on the movie thing, if you're not a fan of comic books or superheroes, there's zip to see at the movie theaters these days. Like, there's really not a lot to see in the theater.
You guys live in a cultural abyss.
I watched Venom on the way back. One of the Marvel movies, right?
All right, so Darren Dreger is here. TSN 1050's Trade Deadline coverage is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealer, Subaru. Confidence in motion. All right, Dregs, you were in Winnipeg.
Yes, I was.
I was in Ottawa. Mark Stone is an Ottawa Senator for now.
Yeah.
Tied a career high with his 26th goal last night. He's from Manitoba. Let's put two and two together and make five.
Yeah, be a good fit. From Winnipeg's perspective, be a great fit. At least on a short term, because as we've talked about at length, you know, when you look at the future of the Winnipeg Jets from a financial perspective, with everything that has to go on there, how do you keep a piece like that? Well, you can, unless you're moving pieces out. But yeah, you know, from a coaching standpoint, I'm sure Paul Maurice looks at his young lineup, and even though the media in that market believes that they need a center, it's a little disrespectful, frankly, to Brian Little, who's done an excellent job. He just has to manage two very young players, you know, and that's what he has on the wing there. So I think from a coaching standpoint, and then maybe Chevalier off as well, they look at their need, and their need is a top six winger. And if you could add a piece like Mark Stone, man, that really pushes the Winnipeg Jets truly into that contending position. Even though most of us who have watched the Winnipeg Jets probably have them there already.
Right.
But they're looking at, you know, they're comparing themselves to the best in the East, Tampa Bay. You know, even Pittsburgh to some degree, even though the Penguins are hurt and floundering. And then Nashville and, you know, the comparisons you've got to make in the West. And they're like, if there's an area in need, it's going to be adding some experience up front.
So I know you're hoping, as is everybody that works here at TSN, that this thing plays out on trade deadline day, trade center day, February 25th. But in terms of the timeline of how the Senators are going to proceed here, with Duchesne hanging there and Stone hanging there in the balance and teams obviously calling, how do you see it playing out, Dregs?
Well, Pierre Dorion and Jim Clark, who's the chief scout of the Ottawa Senators, are going to be in Winnipeg tomorrow. The Winnipeg Jets play the Colorado Avalanche tomorrow. Now, that's not unusual because Winnipeg plays Ottawa. Ottawa's in Winnipeg on Saturday. But can you imagine the buzz that's going to create?
Yeah. Right.
Now, the Jets play three times this week on home ice. The Moose play three times. So it's one-stop shopping. And a lot of NHL clubs, Ottawa included, would have looked at this several weeks ago and said, well, that's a good time. But because we're inside 2 weeks from the trade deadline, and there is reason to connect Winnipeg to Ottawa, that's going to amplify the speculation. I believe that Pierre Dorion is going to make one more hard run at Mark Stone. And if it's not later this week, it's going to be before next week. And that's not to say that they push all their chips to the center of the table and say, take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to try real hard. There's been an ongoing back and forth with Pat Brisson, who represents Matt Duchesne. And I don't know the specifics, but I know that Duchesne has been offered a lot of money. A lot of money. North of $8 million.
Wow.
A lot of money.
8-year deal?
I presume it's an 8-year deal. So they're still interested in Matt Duchesne. It's not like they're turning left because, you know, they're not interested in right anymore. You know, they would like to sign both those guys. I'm not selling optimism here because, frankly, I don't think either player is going to sign in Ottawa.
Right.
I don't. It's dragged to this point. Why wouldn't you go to the market?
That's the thing.
Why wouldn't you?
If you're this close to getting a bite of the apple, why wouldn't you? I mean, you can always go back to your... I mean, there's nothing precluding you from going back to them.
Nothing. So...
The only difference is after July 1st, you can't sign an eight-year deal.
Right. And look, that is a bit of an issue. I think it would be for Matt Duchene. And I'll tell you, and people don't realize the back and forth between Brisson, probably Lou Lamoriello at the time of the Islanders, and the Toronto Maple Leafs over John Tavares.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody thinks that on July 1st, John Tavares went into the meeting with the Toronto Maple Leafs and was wooed by Mike Babcock and the idea of playing with Mitch Marner, and I'm signing in Toronto. Now, I mean, he knew going into that meeting that he was going to Toronto, and there had been back and forth. There had been discussions on, okay, well, you know, maybe the Islanders should trade Tavares to the Maple Leafs.
Trade his rights, yeah.
Trade his rights, and then... The advantage to that being the Islanders get something in return, and, of course, Tavares gets that eighth year. Didn't work out that way, obviously. Yeah. You know, they had to go back and forth, and they agree on the seven-year, $11 million flat deal. I think same agent, different type of player, but I believe that, again, this last push, if you will, by Pierre Dorion is going to be the last push. But... It's not like you crack the door open and say, all right, well, these guys aren't signing now, so throw all your best offers at me. Managers have been calling Pierre Dorion daily, right? I mean, they're circling, they know, and they're saying, look, you know, we can't deal with the specifics unless you want to deal with the specifics, but just know that we're in on this guy, on that guy.
All right, the Leafs. Ron Hainsey back with Morgan Riley at practice today. They played together again last night, got moved back together.
Yeah.
Does this mean the Leafs might look at making another acquisition on D?
Well, I mean, they keep chasing the Carolina Hurricanes. So, you know, they're not collecting air miles and wasting time. I mean, there's a reason for it. And, you know, we've speculated before on what a package might look like. Could you, you know, get Brett Pesce? What would it cost? You know, does it have to be a young forward? You know, could you find a way to bamboozle the Carolina Hurricanes into taking Nikita Zaitsev and maybe a sweeter piece, you know, in terms of a prospect from the Marlies? Or I don't know. I'm just pontificating at this point. But I think that they do believe that right shot defense is maybe more important now than what they even expected it was when they acquired Jake Muzzin. You know, they've got a real good defensive core. They don't have perfect balance. And I don't think that there'd be too many of us who aren't fans of Ron Hainsey in the game that he can still play at, what, 38?
Soon to be 38,
Soon to be 38. But can he play that type of game for the duration of this season? And through what they hope will be a long playoff run. That's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask. What's curious about this, though, is, and I talked about it on Leafs Lunch, when that trade was announced, I had a quick exchange with Babcock, and I said, you know, how do you see Muzzin sliding in? Is he going to play on that right side with Morgan Riley, and how do you think it's going to fit, and how are they going to work? And the response was, well, we're going to find out. Well, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Right. We haven't seen Muzzin on that right side. And I'm not questioning Babcock. I'm just surprised we haven't seen it even on a short-term basis.
Well, it's interesting because it does seem like when Babcock came to the rink that day in Detroit when Muzzin made his debut at practice, you know, he was kind of begrudgingly putting Jake Muzzin on the left side so Jake Muzzin would be comfortable and putting Morgan Riley on the right side. And he made a big point of saying, hey, there was a guy named Nick Lidstrom who was a left-shot defenseman who always liked playing the left and said to me, you know, keep me on the left, essentially. And yet while he was saying that, he was also playing Morgan Riley on the right side. And what do you make of it now that he's putting Morgan Riley back on the left with Ron Hainsey?
Well, I mean... It's in part through necessity because Morgan Riley isn't as impactful, you know, on the right side. He's on the left
side.
I mean, that's pretty obvious, and that's why Babcock is going back to it. There's no way that Babcock wouldn't have had a conversation with Jake Muzzin. Otherwise, what I said a minute ago just doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't you try it if the player is telling you, yeah, I'm in. And let's take a couple of shifts and see how it goes. And if it goes well, then let's try a game. And then if it goes well, let's try... I don't know. Maybe Jake told him that I'm happy to try, but I'd prefer to stay on the left side. And otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
And
as
Daryl Sutter told us on this very station, the guy had never played the left side. I guess he's told Steve Simmons that. I give Steve credit for doing that interview before we did.
For sure. Yeah.
But Daryl went you know, A to Z about all the times that Jake Muzzin had played on the left side, and how he was way more comfortable playing with a right shot D, which the Leafs just don't have.
So Carolina's got four right shot D. Yeah. It would seem it comes down to Brett Pesce or Dougie Hamilton. Justin Falk, you're probably not looking there. Trevor Van Riemsdyk, you're probably not looking there. But
no.
Dougie Hamilton's really interesting to me. Last year, he scored 17 goals for the Calgary Flames. That tied for the league lead in goals by defenseman. He has scored at least 10 goals in five consecutive
games. I know.
And yet, he's fourth in Carolina in ice time among defensemen. He's been traded twice.
It doesn't add up.
Right?
And I know where you're going, and we've asked the same questions of hockey men that we trust. It's hard to get a definitive response or answer. Is it Dougie Hamilton being unlucky? Now, when he got traded out of Boston, whether it was his fault or not, I think that he was an immature young hockey player at that point. That was an experienced team for the most part, mm-hmm. and I think that there were some growing pains there, right? And they got decent return for Dougie Hamilton as part of that package. You got to give Brad Treliving a ton of credit for what he got back in the trade with the Carolina Hurricanes.
Right.
Like, come on. So in the deals that he's been involved with, there's been value that has gone back the other way. But to your point now, Gord, when you look at the stats line of Dougie Hamilton with the Carolina Hurricanes, it doesn't compute. But what does a deal like that look like again? That's what I always want to come back to. You know, Toronto did backflips in acquiring Jake Muzzin because they didn't have to lose an NHL roster player. You know, they didn't want to lose Grundstrom. You know, they'd have preferred Liljegren been involved in that deal. And I think Los Angeles, in fact, wanted Sandin. And that wasn't going to happen. So they settle on Grundstrom. Are you willing at this stage, based on the upside of what you're seeing in Johnsson, to throw him into the mix? Kasperi Kapanen, for me, is a non-starter at this point of the year. Maybe you have to do it in the offseason because of offer sheet threats and the cap and all the nonsense anyway. But are you doing that for Brett Pesce? You'd love to throw Nikita Zaitsev into that mix, but Tom Dundon told us not that long ago that he doesn't put a premium on any defense, so he's not taking on that contract based on the way Zaitsev is playing.
Apparently he told people that if Carolina had the first pick in the draft last year, they wouldn't have taken Rasmus Dahlin.
Yeah. Makes you wonder.
Makes you shake your head a little bit.
So anyway, I just don't know what that package would look like because it has to be dollar in, dollar out from Toronto's perspective. So Hamilton is what, $6 million?
Yeah. Just shy, 5.75. Two more years after this, it's 5.75.
I think he'd be a great ad from Toronto's perspective. How do you make it work? And, you know, what does Carolina need back that's, you know, probably going to make it an issue?
But don't you want to, like, if you're looking at all those guys you talked about, Kasperi Kapanen, Andreas Johnsson, and you're looking at a cap picture where it's going to be difficult to keep all those guys in the universe where they're going to need raises because they're both restricted free agents. Do you get ahead of it now and lose one to gain that asset you've long been looking for?
From a management standpoint, I would say yes. From a coaching perspective, no chance Mike Babcock wants to lose either one of those two forwards. Zero chance.
And this is the great luxury of being a coach, Darren, is you get to want all the guys you want, but not have to give up anything.
Oh, no.
Right, coaches want everyone, but don't want to trade anyone.
Oh, yeah. No, I need Wayne Simmons, so go out and get Wayne Simmons. I need that right shot D man. Go and get him. I don't care who you give up from the Marlies, but don't touch my roster. Yeah. I mean, that's how the coach looks at it. It's next to impossible. I mean, they're going to lose players. I mean, there's no doubt of that. But the way we look at the Toronto Maple Leafs today, and based on what we saw last night in Colorado and how the blender came out with his D pairings, I mean, that's why we're even having this conversation is it's just wild speculation.
Yeah.
And I would throw into that, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can see Dougie Hamilton on the right side on the top pair. I can't see Brett Pesce there yet.
No.
Brett Pesce's a top four. Is he a top pair?
There's something about Hamilton, and I think a lot of it is scurrilous. I think stuff came out of Calgary that didn't like to go to museums,
he liked museums.
He wanted to go to museums, and the guys were going out for beer or whatever. Calgary Flames guys say that that's not the case.
Yeah,
the Calgary guys I've talked to, he's a different guy. He's very quiet. He's very studious. He's not the cookie cutter.
I mean, I've interviewed him a bunch of times as if you've talked to him. I like the guy. He's great to talk to. You get, you know, legit conversation. Yeah. He's not afraid. He'll answer questions. He'll engage in conversation. I don't know. I mean, we keep looking for something that's buried there, and I don't dig too deep into that nonsense, but I haven't found it yet.
But being different, Dregs, in hockey is
can hurt you.
Like,
it can hurt.
This is not a sport that really encourages peacocks, right?
That's
like,
fair.
It doesn't like...
You say PK or peacock?
Peacocks, yes.
Yeah. Or well, PK is one of them, right? Exactly. No, and you're right. I mean, but I... Look, the guy's from a great family. His dad was a national team rower. His mom was a national team basketball player. I mean, incredible family. And he's a
great
GTA
family.
Guy. I mean,
yeah.
He's a GTHL kid. I mean, maybe we connect those dots too often in this town, but makes sense to me. I mean, in every level. What about Simmons? Does Simmons have... You know, I was talking to somebody the other day after the Montreal game, a guy I respect around the league, and he said, Wayne Simmons, yeah, Mike Babcock might want that ounce of grit, that injection of grit in a Scarborough guy, but Wayne Simmons doesn't have the speed anymore. What do you see there?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. And, you know, Chuck Fletcher and Donnie Waddell with Mike Ferland are just, they're waiting in the weeds, right?
Yeah.
They're waiting for the Ottawa chips to fall. You know, then that next tier gets a good look. You know, I watched the Rangers play the Jets last night in Winnipeg. You know, the New York Rangers are kind of stuck in the mud there, too. You know, Kevin Hayes is a good player.
Yeah.
You know, they've got him. They've got Zuccarello. They've got Adam McQuaid. These players are getting traded. You know, it's just they're almost in a holding queue here waiting for it to happen. I don't believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs want to pay the price that you're going to have to pay to acquire that rental player. That's why, to me, as long as they continue to follow and scout the Carolina Hurricanes, Ferland, and I'm not connecting the two based on inside information, he makes more sense to me than Wayne Simmons, mm-hmm. because maybe you can package him as part of something. So
right. Maybe
Toronto does give a little bit more to get that right shot D and, you know, Mike Ferland, even though they have no intention of extending Ferland in the offseason. I don't know. But
they're both intriguing guys, Dregs, because Ferland had a real hot start to the season. He scored last night. Prior to that, he'd scored three times in 26 games. Simmons has been cold for Philly. I got to think, though, Dregs, a team like Boston that might need some help on the... Like, only Ovechkin has more power play goals the last 5 years than Simmons.
Yeah.
Like, Toronto doesn't need a power play guy. They got lots of those. Boston would be a team that would be looking for some punch on the power play. A guy that can mix it up in front of the net, you know, jam a couple of rebounds home. Doesn't that make more sense? Especially with Boston.
It definitely makes more sense. Boston, though, see, with Mike Ferland, I like this kid's game. I do. I don't know that I'm sold that he can consistently be a top six. Do you need him to be? Yeah, maybe you don't need him to be full-time. You know, Wayne Simmons is a bit of a specialist now. And to Dave's point, I think he's slowed. I mean, there's some wear on that chassis.
Hip surgery.
Yeah, there's some wear there. And I understand that. From Boston's standpoint, I think they like Tyler Toffoli initially. But I don't know if he's got the LA Kings disease or what's going on there. But all of a sudden, he's starting to look a little slower now, too, you know? Ryan Dzingel is a player that a lot of teams, including the Boston Bruins, are going to take. That doesn't answer your need for a little bit of extra spice or bite. But
he's a poor man's Mike Hoffman. I mean, maybe not even a poor man's Mike Hoffman. He might be Mike Hoffman part two. Like he's got a great release.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. He can skate.
Like and from Boston's standpoint, they're old enough as it is, and they're not getting younger up front.
Right.
You know, so at least in a Ryan Dzingel, there's some future there if you're able to make that trade and extend him. You know, he's young enough that you know you've got some years in Ryan Dzingel. So I think that they'll take a hard look at him.
You know what, Jake? Just before we go, Tim Kirkjian from ESPN was with us earlier and talking about the changing landscape in baseball. You know, mm-hmm. Bryce Harper still not signed, things like that. I wonder if the landscape isn't going to change in hockey a little bit. You know, like Tavares got the 7 years, but James Van Riemsdyk got 38 goals last year. He got a 4-year deal. Like, only the one long deal was signed last summer.
Well, and here's an interesting one. Not interesting enough that it made the menu of insider trading last night, but I thought it was interesting because it was my topic, and I brought it to the table.
Layoffs.
I got the Players Association, and there are CBA discussions that are ongoing, right? They're happening right now, and everything's nice. The PA is submitting that they would like to have the 35 and older cap hit removed entirely.
Right. So that's a deal where if you sign a player 35 and over, his cap hit counts no matter what, unless he goes to LTI.
No, it doesn't count at all. Zero cap hit for a 35 and older player. And the reason being because the second contract, the younger player is taking over the league. Now, there aren't that many 35 plus players.
But you're saying now it does.
Yeah, now it does.
Now it does.
Yes.
Now it counts no matter what.
It does.
Unless you go on LTI,
yeah.
like if the guy retires, no, gets hit by a bus, whatever. It stays on the thing.
And, you know, I should know how many players 35 and older are in the league, but there aren't that many.
No.
Now, would there be 25 across the league? Maybe 30?
Probably not that many.
You know, but that makes a lot of sense because that player 30-plus is starting to go the way of the dodo bird when you talk about the contract extensions and the money that's being made. So maybe that's a way of freshening it up a little bit. But I think you're right. You know, the longer terms are also starting to disappear.
All right, TSN 1050's trade deadline coverage brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealer, Subaru, confidence in motion. Dregs, how's your Chris Bosch imitation?
Not good.
He just pulled the plug on us.
Come on!
He did. We've been promoting him for 2 hours.
Okay.
He just, he's got a
I do have to tell you a quick basketball story. It'll take 10 seconds. Doc Rivers. You know Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Back in the day, I actually hosted NBA games sparingly on TV for CTV back in the day. Doc
did you
Rivers,
really?
Yes, I
now
did.
That is
Rick Barry was one of my analysts, and
that.
Doc Rivers was the other. And every time we do a conference call to set up the game, Doc Rivers would come on the line, and I say, "Hey, Doc, it's Darren. How are you?" "Double D, how are you?" Every single time.
He did have one of the great responses to a question last year. He's asked about 2 years ago. He's asked about an injured player. You know Doc's a nickname, right?
I like that. Hey, by the way, to answer your question, Driggs, my trusty database here, there are 27 players, 35 and over in the NHL to begin the season, I guess.
Yeah, so I mean, it won't be a big item, but it'll be an item.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, okay. The boys from Overdrive are in Vegas.
They're not there yet. I don't even know if they've left the tarmac.
They left the tarmac.
Their wheels up.
But here's my question. Gord, we were speculating on the sleeping arrangements. Would it be separate rooms or would it be one big suite and a Siberian white tiger?
I would opt for the latter. Yeah. It's either one big suite, which belongs to Jeff O'Neill.
Yes.
And then the other guys are, you know, staying at the Motel 8 or 6 or whatever.
Or 5.
Yeah. But, oh no, O'Dog will have something cooked up. There's no doubt.
And if you're making odds, what are the odds O'Neill adds to the neck tat with a face tat a la Mike Tyson?
Nah, he's over that.
I think he's
over that. Now, there is symbolism to the neck tat, but I think that there's also a little bit of regret.
He's got 3 daughters.
Yeah.
No tats for you, right, Driggs? Do you have tattoos?
Wait a second.
What?
Pregnant pause.
Hang on a second. Do you have tattoos?
Yeah.
Really?
I have a bunny rabbit on my left cheek.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you want to see it?
No.
It disappears on occasion. You know why?
Why?
Crawls in the hole.
Oh my goodness. This is likely my last appearance as the host of the temporary host of Overdrive. Dregs, thanks for joining us, I think.
Yeah, anytime.
No, actually. Maybe
this might be my last appearance.
What happened to Overdrive? Well, Gord Miller hosted it, and the thing went right down the drain.
It's like we're hosting from Vegas.
I think you have a tattoo.
I do not have a tattoo. Both my kids have a tattoo.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, which was tough for me. Signing off on a tattoo as a dad is challenging.
Did you pay for the tattoos?
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Indirectly.
Somehow.
Now, both were tributes to their grandparents.
Oh, right.
That's
a nice
very
touch
nice. To it. Yeah.
That's very nice.
Very nice.
Get back on the phone.
Okay, boys.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Appreciate it. There's Darren Dreger.
Double D.
Double D.